views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is August the 3rd, 2018. It's a Friday. Have a live show for you today. Definitely looking forward to you all engaging. Great show yesterday. Great show all the time. Greatly appreciate you all. Definitely, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will jump into today's show. But before we do that, as we always do, take care of first business. And that is you supporting the Black Talk Radio Network project in this network. Very, very important that you do. Let me fix this really quickly. Ah, man. Of course. All right. So please support the network. And you can very easily do that by becoming a member or donating to Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that from the website. Hit the donation prompt. Give some of your financial energy so this network stays on air and continues to bring you what you have deemed, what we have deemed as being very significant and important. So please definitely, definitely do that. Without it, we won't have this network, and we don't want to jeopardize that. So give some of your financial energy. Also, you can become a member in BTR community where you can actually engage in social media activities without being as adversely affected. You can do that for only $24 a year is the overall membership fee. And with that membership fee, no one will be selling your identity or your profile to anyone else. And also, you can promote yourself and your business and things that you think are relevant without being as adversely harmed as you would be on the public, or excuse me, on the more mainstream forms such as Facebook, and all those other things. They sell your identity, and it's a place where other people can data mine and look at who you are, make determinations, all kinds of things. And, you know, these are the downfalls to it that no one really, really speaks about. So definitely come on over to BTR community. You don't have to worry about it. And you can engage in social media with a more of a holistic view. And Black Talk Radio Network and BTR community, excuse me, Black Talk Radio Network community, that's what BTR community stands for. BTR community's social media platform is the only place that I post, because it's the only one that I think is really relevant to us and to getting the message across and to being able to prepare for a lot of the things that are unfolding as the world continues to turn, which we're going to take a look at today. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals company where you can acquire real money by trading in your currency or the slave wage or the coupon of lost purchasing power. You know, lost purchasing power means this: it's not going to be able to buy anything. And you don't have to take our word for it. Just go back to Alan Greenspan's testifying before Congress, saying that I can give you as much currency as you want, and I can give you as much as you want for as long as you want. But I can't guarantee. But there can never be a guarantee of the purchasing power. What does that mean? Give you all the cash you want, it won't mean anything because it won't be able to buy a darn thing. And this is from the former Fed chair that was is a part of the overall process to create it. Was telling you it's worthless, but we don't get it. And you all do, very important that you do, and do and make sure that you're doing all the right things with it. So definitely, please engage in that and you'll do well. Okay? This is what you save in. Your overall safe should be full of savings of real silver and gold, not of cash in the bank. Sorry, because the silver and gold can do the exact same thing and even more than what cash can do. But we've been addicted to cash, and we don't see that as – we don't see real money as money. We see real money as an investment that we don't need that. Why would I use that? I don't – never used that before. But what we see as money is being cash, and that's what the system wants. It's how it enslaves us. So definitely do that. Check out what's at Prosperity Mint, then email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. All right? So very, very, very important. All right. So we're going to get into what's in the news for today's show is part two. Not so new world order is today's show. Part two is not so new world order is today's show. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and would love to hear from you. All right, so we're going to jump into what's in news. First article I posted from, got this from Reuters. Trump receives letter from North Korea's Kim on August the 1st. So let me figure ahead. Trump received a letter from North Korea's Kim Jong-un as the two countries are to discuss commitments at the recent Singapore summit. So wouldn't be surprised if that's going to blow back up, and it's not going to go the way that many thought. It is going to go to the way that, and it's all a part of this whole new world order, and I'll kind of explain that in once we get into today's show. So check out that. Next article, posted from Reuters. China says its latest proposed tariffs on the U.S. China's commerce minister said on Friday that Beijing's new set of proposed import tariffs on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods are rational and restrained and warned that it's reserved the right for further countermeasures in the intensifying trade war. Check out that article. Great article, Ross. I also posted one same one as that one as well, but in a different format. Next article from Roz from CNET, the 3D printing gun controversy, everything you need to know. Check out that article, good one as well. Next article I posted from Sputnik News, Netanyahu unexpectedly scraps Colombia trip due to situation in the South. Middle East celebrity figurehead Prime Minister Netanyahu canceled the trip, comes a day after Israel reposting the fuel embargo on Gaza Strip over ongoing fire balloons and arson kites attacks originating from the Gazan territory. I don't know when, but that whole situation is going to really, really blow and continue to go. Next article from my man, Monty OG1. And Rise posted this one from Monty OG1. $2 billion Nigerian-Chinese currency swap. Win-win deal, experts say. So check out that actual article. And I'm going to tell you that's significant because Nigeria is one of the few countries that develop their crude oil is the best, some of the best oil in the world because it's known as light, sweet crude. Libya is the other country that has it. So very, very important, very significant. And that switch is really, really, really happening. We're going to talk about that. Next article I got from Politico. China's will China will retaliate with tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods. This is kind of the same one article that Raj posted earlier. Next one, Raj posted from Wall Street Journal. U.S. trade gap widens in June. Next article, I got, they took it away. Bloomberg got a great article that Bloomberg took away. And it says, this is Ross signals more tariffs pain ahead in China's trade battle. And this was from Bloomberg. Basically, Bloomberg was reporting that Wilbur Ross was saying that there's going to be more tariffs and it's going to be painful to China. Going to be, we all know what the pain is going to be. So check out that article. And they took it down, but just click on it and it will come up. Next article, Raj posted, watch out in Texas from the Free Thought Project. Cop who was bullied in school made hit list, starting killing his former bullies, says a friend. So check out that article. Next article, Raj posted from the Daily Sheeple. New Ebola outbreak declared in the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. A brand new Ebola outbreak has declared it in the African country of Democratic Republic of Congo, just 1 week after the most recent Ebola outbreak in the DRC was declared over. Check out that article. Next article, this one came from Anti-Media. Raping children while knowingly having HIV colonizes a culture. Another Southwest Key employee charged with sexually abusing children. Check out that article. Next article, Raj posted from naturenews.com. Superbug genes are floating around in the air of 19 global cities, warned scientists. The next global pandemic is already in the making. Check out that article. Next article, Raj posted from Mint Press News. U.S. wants Nicaragua to fall as it poses the threat of a good example. Check out that article. Yep, this is all significant for the overall war that's going to be happening. And the Central American countries are going to be critical in that overall war. Next article from Mint Press News. U.S. military aid to Israel set to exceed a record $3.8 billion. Next article, Raj hosted from Mini Press. Security clearance, top-level corruption in the U.S. Yes, of course. And go down. Next article, Raj, from Anti-Media. An Iran war would destroy the United States. And from Anti-Media, again, Raj posted, Iran ready major military exercise as tensions with the U.S. simmer. Check out that article. And next article, Raj posted from Ask a Prepper. Why put an onion in your sock before sleeping? And check out those. And then there's a... got to get into the show. Let me grab a couple of other ones that Raj posted here that's real good. And this one came from Survivorpedia, 6 ways to treat allergies without needles, drugs, or shots. Very, very important for those of you that have allergies. Please check out what Raj posted there. Good, good. Very, very, very important. And those are some of the things that as to what's in the news for today. And we're going to jump into today's show. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And we're going to, today's show is going to be, let me just get back here, it's going to be part two. And the part two, and my computer, just real quickly, part two is not so new world order, because I don't think that there is such thing as a new world order. It's been the same order for so long. We started on that yesterday. Great conversation, great insight from a lot of you. Would love to hear from you on what you think about that. Okay, today is Friday, and we'll have a financial part of today's show as well. So we're going to jump into it and get into it. So what I want to do is Many of you may not be very familiar with the BRIC nations are and what they do. So what I want to do, I don't know if Scotty's there, but if Scotty's not there and he can't do it, I want to, it's a couple of short videos. I want to play, two of them are like 2 minutes long. One is like 25 minutes long. We're not going to play the whole 25 minutes long one, but the beginning part of the 25 minutes, the first 5 minutes of it is pretty, pretty significant. And it's very, very important. So some of the things that's happening is that there's a whole switch. And before we get going into that, let me see, how do I, best way to do this, Scotty's there. So, Scotty, I posted in order one, two, three videos, and I want to play the first one and the last one are like 2 minutes. The middle one is like 25 minutes. I just want to play 5 minutes of that second one, just so that you can hear and what's going on and the significance. I want you to look and listen to, especially the South African president, what he is saying about BRICS and where it's going and the significance of it. Very, very, very critical. And then the last one is going to be about, not about BRICS, but about the ASEAN nations. I know what ASEAN, the Association of Southeastern Asian Nations, ASEAN nations. Very, very important, critical. And all of this is going to be significant for you, everyone here, and everyone tied to the so-called corporation of the United States. So, Scotty, the first one is 2 minutes. The last one is 2 minutes. The middle one is 25. We're just going to play 5 minutes, 6 minutes, yeah, 5 minutes of the middle one. And this is going to be about BRICS to give you an understanding, because I think it's significant so that we can start the show. So if we could, just play those real quickly, and then we'll jump into the show. So really just pay attention. Listen to what's being said and listen to the direction that things are going. Then I'm going to come back and talk about the not-so-new world order, okay? So once Scotty's ready, he'll play it and we'll get going in that. But anytime after that, here we go.
The tide of the times is surging forward, independent of people's will. We BRICS countries must therefore have a firm grasp of the trend of our times.
The BRICS countries hold their annual summit in Johannesburg. So, can BRICS nations provide global leadership at a time of increasing economic turmoil? Hello, I'm Nathan King in Fatinand Naidu, and this is The Heat. Hello again. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The five countries make up BRICS, a partnership focused on economic development and growth. Leaders from all five nations and other observer states met in Johannesburg this week. And for the latest, CGTN's Sumitra Naidu has this report.
It was a largely successful gathering for the BRICS grouping. The five heads of state dwelled on the importance of their partnership in a global landscape of growing trade uncertainty and pledged solidarity in the challenges that lie ahead. There was consensus that investment-led trade would be the end goal to ensure more complementary and equitable intra-BRICS trade.
Our task is to give practical expression to an economic partnership that will catapult
South African president,
industrialization
listen.
Of our respective economies beyond the digital age. While trade amongst BRICS partners has expanded exponentially over the last 10 years, we need to advance to a new level of industrial cooperation. Addressing the demands of both the present and the future requires the same unity of purpose that brought BRICS into existence and which has sustained it over the last decade.
Several agreements were signed between the leaders. The BRICS Business Council also launched a host of new projects to facilitate the transfer of knowledge and skills between the five nations. The leaders also discussed ways of using technology to propel the fourth industrial revolution.
BRICS leaders really walked the talk when it came to areas of inclusion. Several presidents outside of the five nations were invited to attend this year's summit. Argentina, Turkey, and Jamaica all representing their respective regions. There was also a string of African presidents speaking at this year's summit, making this a truly diversified gathering and an extended grouping going forward, which will carry some serious weight in the global economy. Smita Nadu, CGTN, at the 10th BRICS Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Senior researcher with the Pangol Institution. With us here in the studio, Emira Woods. She's a member of the International Working Group for Africans Rising. From Boston, Ravi Ramamurthy is the director of the Center for Emerging Markets at Northeastern University. And an old friend of the show, Paulo Sotero, is the director of the Brazil Institute at the Wilson Center. Shido Shu in Beijing, let's start with you. First question has to be, there was a real rejection of unilateralism when it comes to the global trading system, naming no names, but the finger seemed to be largely pointed at the United States. Was this something that the BRICS countries could really agree on going forward?
Yes, obviously, this is, I think, a very much impressive collective voice by the BRICS countries, against the practice of unilateralism and protectionism, mostly by the Trump administration. I think it's easy to understand, because if you look at the countries like China, India, South Africa, Brazil, Russia, and they are at this development stage, and they are benefiting a lot from globalization, from free trade, and the free movement of investment, from different countries. So I think they are they care a lot. Not only China, of course, which is at the trade war with the United States, but also India, South Africa, like Russia, they are also suffering from the unilateralism and the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration on the steel and aluminum products. So they are also suffering from this practice, and they are very much concerned about whether there will be a reverse of the globalization or reverse of the multilateralism here.
Ravi, to you now. Obviously, India, the second biggest economy at the table, and India and China are going to be the two biggest economies in the not-too-distant future. But as you know, India and China compete geographically in the neighborhood. They have had their tensions. Is BRICS a format where they can come together?
I certainly think it helps to strengthen the relationship between these two countries. Among the five BRIC countries, probably it is between China and India that the relationship is most fragile, because there is a mixed interest where they can actually cooperate on some very important things. And this recent issue about protectionism and unilateralism coming out of the U.S. is one of those examples where they both have a common interest in trying to reverse this trend. But in some other areas, they do have differences, and it's therefore a difficult relationship to manage. Now, that being said, having forums like the BRICS summit is very helpful for the two countries to sit down and look at the relationship, and without having any single issue requiring them to meet, to just go through the list of issues that they disagree on and to sort of smooth out the rough edges. And I think that has been achieved, particularly in the last year, between Modi and President Xi, on more than one occasion. And I think the summit is just one more example of that.
It's interesting that they do agree a lot of times, India and China, on the economic front, especially when it comes to multilateralism. Let's just play Prime Minister Modi's comments about the future. And I just want to get your reaction off the bat.
Fourth industrial revolution, Vishayapar.
India wants to work along with BRICS countries in the area of the fourth industrial revolution. In this regard, we must share our best practices and policies, keeping in mind technical changes happening now and anticipated in the future for BRICS countries and for the entire world. I would like to suggest that our ministers must discuss this in detail and consult with experts when required.
Now, Ravi, Prime Minister Modi, of course, went on an African tour before the BRICS summit, as did Xi Jinping, looking for new markets, looking for new deals. but also there seems to be sort of a shared vision a little bit about how the economies of the future could work. Is that right?
I don't actually think that is the case. I think the reality is India has not really fully taken advantage of Industrial Revolution number two. Because number three is the digital revolution, and Industrial Revolution number four is when you combine digital with the physical. Now, of course, India has done well with revolution number three, with its success in the IT and software spaces, but it has really not done, achieved its full potential in terms of Industrial Revolution number two, which is to create a large manufacturing base with lots of jobs tied to manufacturing. Then you get to stage four, where you find ways to combine the digital with the physical manufacturing. The fact is that China is the only
Chatty,
country
Okay, let's
that
cut this one and go to the next one, because I don't want to play too much of that
today,
good parts. Definitely suggest that you all reach.
The milestone,
let's go to the last
a draft
one.
Text of a code of conduct regarding the disputed South China Sea, the agreement reached between China and ASEAN's 10 member states.
This will be a living document, and it will be the basis for future COC negotiations.
The move, described as a major achievement, is significant. Discussions over a code of conduct had been ongoing for more than a decade. The South China Sea is one of the world's busiest waterways, with trillions of dollars worth of goods passing through every year. Some ASEAN members, like the Philippines, Vietnam, and Malaysia, have conflicting claims with China over islands in the sea. The dispute had caused relations in the region to sour, and discussions over a solution had up to this point proved unsuccessful. Those attending the ASEAN foreign ministers meeting were cautious about the code of conduct. They disagree over whether it should be legally binding. And the code is not intended to resolve disputes, but to promote peace during future negotiations. Meantime, peace farther north on the Korean Peninsula was also discussed at the meeting. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi was asked if current trade disputes with the U.S. would impact talks with the DPRK.
The crucial step now is to implement the agreement reached in Singapore during the Trump-Kim summit. Yes, this exact place, Singapore, that is realizing denuclearization and establishing a peace mechanism on the Korean Peninsula should be pushed forward simultaneously, because these two aspects affect each other and their existence depends on each other.
Wang Yi said China and other countries are willing to play a constructive role.
So we hope both the DPRK and South Korea maintain their contact and reasonably address each other's legitimate concerns. We encourage them to make progress in their dialogue and continue their communication.
Diplomacy will once again play out in Singapore this weekend, when the DPRK, China, the U.S., and other nations attend the annual ASEAN Regional Forum. Denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula is expected to be atop the agenda. Francis Ko, CGTN.
Okay. So, thanks, Scotty, for playing those. Very, very important. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So, listen, the reason why I wanted to play that, because there was some very, very significant information that was given during those presentations. And the second video is actually 25 minutes. I would suggest that you all check that out, okay? Now, here's what why this, I say that the New World Order is no such thing as the New World Order. What we're going to be going to is a shift. It's something that I was talking about yesterday that the system always does. See, currently the system is under the debt system. Under the debt system. And under the debt system, they wanted to have an alliance of countries to come together, and one country would be the premier country in that overall, upholding that to facilitate the overall theatrical facade of hiding what the true intents were. And this debt system is also known as the Bretton Woods system or the petrodollar system, and the U.S. dollar being used as the reserve currency, and the overall involvement of the private organizations known as The Federal Reserve is a group of investors, which are probably families, extremely wealthy families and corporations that created an overall banking entity and chartered that banking entity to take over the overall world, the bank of this country, the bank of that country. They are all chartered under the overall banking agreements of the chartering of the Federal Reserve. And so that was a part of it all. And what was significant of that is that all of that was part of the holding of that was through NATO. And NATO was developed in the 40s, and it's 19 countries, I believe it is 19 countries, and it has different allies. Some countries are not members, but they're allies. But see, how NATO works is this. It's there for the overall strategic protection of the agreement of the countries that are there, the strategic or military protection of the countries that are there and the interests that they serve. In the original 19
NATO
countries
was developed in the 40s,
created
and
NATO.
It's 19 countries,
those,
I believe it is.
Those countries are how many ever it was, I believe it was 19. But it was really there to protect the overall Bretton Woods decision of 70 years ago, 71, 70 some years ago. And it was done in a shared, where they would come together collectively to share in the overall security of the debt system that they were going to be benefiting from. And so they were there to actually share this and protect each other's interests by military force. And not only military force, but also to push an economic agenda with that. And that economic agenda was all based off of debt, a slave's wage, where they would give people a debt instrument while taking their energy, their priceless energy, in return. And that was not a trade that was evenly yoked. Those that were giving the debt instrument, your actual labor is being stolen. And now, not only that, we're devaluing our overall labor by accepting something that is worthless for something that's priceless. In NATO, and there's other treaties and other things that were put into existence to enforce that and to uphold that throughout the world. I think there was somebody said something. Was that you, Scotty?
Yes, sir. So, as
what's up, bro?
We open up the program with the NATO action. That's what, you know, France, United States, NATO members.
Yep.
I'm sure it was some other members to a lesser extent that participated in the overthrow of Gaddafi over economic reasons.
Yep.
Over economic policy and what he was proposing. And it's just a shame he had to lose his life. And then years later, you know, these other countries decide to stand up to the U.S. because that's really what they were talking about when they, you know, saying unilateralism. That's like a politically correct way of them saying that no longer is the United States alone going to dictate who can do trade with each other and just unilaterally just stop the flow of goods and trade around the planet on their say-so. So that's and they're providing alternative means.
And like, profit.
Right. And everything you talked about. So, you know, it seems times is changing on the economic front. And not only are these the largest, I don't think that the U.S. could challenge, like, okay, if you just took the BRICS nation by themselves, they could not challenge BRICS in Africa or Asia. If we want to talk military alliances, the people that couldn't see the video,
right,
Zimbabwe had a representative there. They mentioned Brazil. These are some of the largest armies in the world as well. And then China, and I was paying attention to them talking about sharing that technology and that knowledge. And, yeah, China is known for ripping off technology and what have you in order to compete and come up with their military weaponry. So if they're talking about sharing that type of knowledge and exchanging, you know, information on, man, it truly will be a new world order in terms of the top dogs that's dictating to the rest of the planet, you know, what they can and cannot do. All right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, well said, and absolutely. So that was what Scotty was saying. We're going to put it all together just to give you, and I want you to notice something that's very significant, very, very significant. That was what NATO's intentions were, and they actually, from that, they were able to create the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, but they do other stuff. The World Bank and all these other things where they exploit countries and people. Once again, they take their labor and give them nothing in exchange for it, and they steal their resources, the resources of their labor and their tangible physical resources. That word physical is very, very important. The word physical is important, and I hope you heard it being said over and over again in the last videos that we just played, particularly the second video about the BRICS. We go on. So here comes the BRIC nations. So what happens is that the system realizes that there is a lifespan of every program or alliance that they put together. It can only last for so long. Just like their currencies can only last for so long. If you look throughout human history, all forms of sovereign currencies were only able to survive for so long, via being the British pound, via being as the reserve currency of the world or the standard of the economic monetary base, being a instrument that could only withstand for so long. And that overall time period is roughly around 75 to at the most 100 years. 70, 75, at most 100 years, usually around 80. And all forms of currency that man has ever established throughout history, every single one of them have gone to zero. Every single one, without any exception. And the U.S. dollar won't be an exception to that. It's going to zero because everything that they create goes to zero. It returns to its intrinsic value of nothing. So this was what the NATO nations were all about. This was the overall establishment of the other institutions that upheld that. And there's different organizations and fraternal orders and fraternities and fractalizations and agreements and treaties that uphold that. And they allowed that to last for so long because they know it has an expiration date. It won't be able to be effective after so many years. This is why you have empires come and empires go. So the system knew that, okay, right about now is about the time to get rid of the overall debt-based economy and everything that was built off of that. And when I mean everything that was built off of it, I mean everything. There's not one thing off of that, the debt-based economy, that is going to survive going forward because the system is determining that. That's the direction that they're going. They created the overall debt system. They have the patent on it, so they very well can make sure that it serves their purpose and they can pull the plug on it at any time. And that's what they're doing. But they're not doing it for the purpose of doing something in a correct way or a benevolent way. They're doing it to maintain what they've been maintaining for so long in the past, their control. Their control. They care not about ownership. They want you to own everything while they control everything. They'll let you own whatever it is that you want. But ownership is always subordinate to control. It's always subordinate to control. They'll let you put your name on it. They'll let you pay the taxes on it because you pay the taxes to them. because they control it. They give you the liabilities of it to maintain it, to keep it looking nice, to fix it at your expense, and then pay taxes on it. And at any given time, they can show you that they have control. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens. And control is very, very significant. Because with control, if you do not fulfill the terms of ownership, with everything that you own will be repossessed by the controller. Just like when you own a car or own a home, if you do not fulfill the overall contractual obligations of that contract, they come and do what? To the owner. They repossess. How many times have you ever seen a controller get repossessed of anything? It doesn't happen. Because you control it, the only thing that can happen is if you surrender it, if you surrender or give up control. Very, very important. Very, very important. So now, there's no such thing as the New World Order. It's the world order. They like to put in descriptive words and descriptive things to get us to not see and to trick us to thinking something that is not real. This is the world order. You remember biblically when Jesus was tempted by the great Satan? And he said, and he basically said, I can give you all of this. The world wasn't lying to Jesus. He could.
Hey, David.
But see, Jesus didn't want the world. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, man, coincidentally, I was just thinking about that exact exchange that you just mentioned yesterday, but in the context of when the tempter tempted Jesus in the Bible to throw himself off a building and won't the angels come, you know, to tempt in death, basically. And a lot of us do that. We tempt death and what have you. And so, yeah.
And speak to the rocks and everything else. See, that was the deal. I'll give you the world. And it was something that Jesus said that man can't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. Meaning what proceeds from the Father's mouth is money, not bread. Bread is a slogan and a slang word that we use for what? Cash. Christ told you man can't live on cash alone. And it's true, because cash is not real. Bread is an artificial substitute food. It is not a form of money food. It has to be created by man. Just like all forms of currency has to be created by man. Bread doesn't grow on trees because it's not money. It doesn't grow out the ground because it's not money. It's made in an oven by kneading the dough and putting yeast in it to put it in the furnace so it can rise. Meaning it's processed by man. That's why it's not healthy for you. So to get off of that, but it's right there. And we don't really look at it from the standpoint of the holistic truth of things. So, the BRIC nations, the system knows that it has to have an empire expire. And when that empire expires, all that it was originally created for to uphold will expire as well. Meaning the currency, the debt-based currency that from the Bretton Woods Agreement and from the Federal Reserve's creation, that is going to die. Meaning all of the debt is going to die. And when the debt dies, it's not going to be forgiven. Not going to be forgiven. and it's going to be replaced with something else. And this is why there is no such thing as a new world order. It's just the world order. What it's going to be replaced by is what the BRIC nations are going to bring in. Very, very significant about the BRIC nations. And I don't know if you were all able to see it. There are many nations that are now trying to get into the BRIC nations. Let me give you a rundown of some of the nations, some of the powerful nations that are trying to get into the BRIC nations. Mexico, Turkey. But then you also have Argentina, Jamaica, and there was a host of African nations that want to be a part of the BRIC nations. Let's take a look at that. Why does Turkey want to do it? Because Turkey wants to actually align itself in the asset-based economy because of what's going to be coming out of Syria and going through Iran to get into the rest of into Europe and the rest of the world by way of oil and natural gas. They want to be a part of that alliance. Mexico is now going to, the new Mexican president says that he wants to join the BRIC nations, and now he's going to monetize billions and billions of barrels of oil, an asset. The new economy is going to be based off of assets. See, they said the fourth industrial revolution. Did you hear when they said that? The fourth industrial revolution. And they couldn't give it away, and they kind of said too much. But here's what the fourth industrial revolution is. See, most of us think that the digital side of it was the significant side of it. No, the digital side is not the significant side of it. The significant side of it is money. And I'm talking about cash, is money. It's labor and assets. The new economy is going to be based off of labor and assets, which is money. Your labor is a form of money. And the assets, the resources of the globe is going to be a part of that. This is why the BRIC nations went straight to Africa to get them in part of the overall BRIC nations. Why? Because the continent has the most resources of all the continents. Very, very important. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. We're talking about the BRIC nations. We're talking about the not-so-new world order. There's nothing new about it. It's just that they're about to have a paradigm shift of control. They use debt in the NATO system and the Bretton Woods system for a period of time. Now they're going to switch into an asset-based economy. And this is why the BRIC nations are going to be pivotal. They are going to be, they're going to supersede, defeat, and pass the BRIC nations. We got a caller in queue. I want to go to that caller, take that caller, and then come back to this. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Hey, this is Rob out of Atlanta.
Rob out of Atlanta. Let me just say this real quick. My man Rob out of Atlanta. Doc Hawkins, please get in contact with Rob.
I appreciate that.
Very important. Very important that you do. And if anyone talks to Doc Hawkins, tell Doc Hawkins to contact Rob. He knows who Rob is. He needs to contact Rob. Rob, what say you, brother?
My interpretation, I may have misinterpreted it. I took it as the key word he was saying with digital in between the lines. I may have misunderstood what he was saying. I was assuming that was about digital currency, the digital fee, cryptocurrencies or whatnot. Was that not what they were talking about in between the lines a little bit without saying too much?
It very well could be, but see, the BRIC nations is going to, is they, their foundation is off of money, not currency. And cryptocurrency is just what it says, it's a currency. Are they going to use that as a part of? Yes. And I definitely think that they're also going to use that as a way in which to invoke the new asset-based economy, because they're going to have digital attacks everywhere around the world. Look at the countries that they're bringing into the BRIC nations and what their overall appropriate strengths are. They are cyber experts, from Iran to North Korea to to a lot of the other ones. So yes, cryptocurrencies will be a factor of it, but it's cryptocurrency is actually the same as the overall debt based economy, because a cryptocurrency has no intrinsic value. It has no intrinsic value at all, none whatsoever. It's not even something that you can tangibly even hold. You know, it's the same thing as the original with the bankers. You know, we've had cryptocurrency since we've had a bank account as a child, and credit cards and everything else. That's that. Is it something that you should use? Yes, definitely. But with the overall fundamentals of the BRIC nations is all based off of assets, because of who's in the BRIC nations: Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and South Africa. Those are the headlining nations, but is a bunch of other nations that are in it. And all of those nations are asset-heavy nations. Brazil has a lot of assets, from oil to biofuels to minerals and to labor. They have a lot. India, China, South Africa, and Russia, they're all heavy asset countries. So the digital side, are they going to use cryptos? Yeah, they'll use cryptos, but that's not going to be a real means to maintaining and establishing the paradigm for the asset-based economy, other than to exploit those assets at the appropriate time. Because one of the things that's very significant about the cryptocurrency space is that it needs the overall internet to function. It needs that. So that's a real shortcoming of it. Yes, the rest of the world will have the internet. They will definitely get the rest of the world will have internet, and that will. But what comes along with that, it comes also the cyber attacks that go along with that. So the cryptocurrency side of it, I think, is a very, very, very insignificant portion of what the BRIC nations are all about. And because they actually established this way before the movement of the crypto space. It was actually their overall movement in this was even for before Bitcoin was officially announced as a cryptocurrency. So, yeah, its significance, yes, but in my opinion, but I mean, a part of it, yes, but a significant part of it, no. I don't think that it is, because it's still a currency. They're getting away from currencies. They want to exchange an asset for an asset. I don't know if I lost my man Rob.
Yeah, you got it, Dave. I appreciate you answering my question. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So, big ups, Rob. Keep me informed. Keep calling in, bro. I appreciate you. All right. So.
Likewise.
Yes, sir. My brother. So very important that. The BRIC nations are comprises of countries that control a lot of resources, and those resources are going to be monetized, which they already are monetized, but they're going to be monetized in a different way. They're going to be monetized as the anchor of the medium of exchange for everyone throughout the world. There's a good and a very, very bad side of that. Here's the bad side of that. There are very few people in the world that have real resources, that have real assets, that have real money. And when they do that, if you notice, some of the things that they said was manufacturing and physical. They said digital, manufacturing, and physical was the fourth industrial revolution. The fourth industrial revolution. That means the overall systematic movement of control has given them their marching orders as to what they were supposed to do. They're about to bring in the fourth revolution, industrial revolution, that is going to be monetized by assets. Physical. What do they mean by physical? That means that every country is going to, its overall economic standing is going to be built, is going to be based primarily off of its physical intrinsic output of resources, human resources, and natural resources, which human resource is a natural resource, all forms of natural resources. Sounds good, but here's the downside to that. As I said earlier, very few, and definitely very few in our community, have any resources at all. We got rid of all our resources, really, when they had the cash for gold scheme. We got rid of all of our resources when we didn't exchange our currency for money. We got rid of all of our resources when we wanted to take the deal that Christ rejected. Christ didn't want the world. We did. And then we lost our resources when we bought too much consumer goods and didn't save any real money. So here's what's going to happen. The manufacturing is going to be the overall labor force of those that don't have it. And the U.S. is, and they're going to use the U.S. as the overall poster child of no longer can you exploit people by taking from them and not giving them something in return. And then one of the things that they do in all forms of war is this, is that they make the one that started the war, or the cause of the war, pay reparations, pay restitutions. And they're going to make sure that the United States, the so-called Corporation of the United States, pay the restitutions for the war that they started and all of the assets and resources that they squandered and stolen. And part of it is going to be done by manufacturing. This is why all of these countries are getting online and getting in line for the One Belt, One Road initiative, or the New Silk Roads, AIIB. Very significant. See, the NATO nations, they were about militarily supremacy of maintaining the thuggish pushing of the dollar. BRICS is built off of economic partnership, but here it comes. is economic partnership of the emerging economies. See, the system is telling you emerging, emerging. What does the word emerging mean? The ones that are coming. The direction that things are going. The emerging economies are going to be the overall premier economies going forward. And they're going to change it. And they made all of the overall collective prudent relationships. And now they're talking about protecting those collective prudent relationships militarily now. The agreements will be protected militarily now. See, NATO said that in its overall, one of its first reasons for existing is they let you know what it was militarily. What these people did, what the BRICS did, and what's happening now is they say economics, 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 oh, and it's going to be defended by the gun. Same thing, said a different way. Not a new world order, same old order of the world. And when this order of the world comes in, it's going to disenfranchise so many people because people don't have resources. They have been using all of this time to accumulate and control the resources. And it sounds like it's going to be something good and some, but it's not. Because the people are not controlling the resources. In this phase, we don't even own resources. So it's the system's way of creating so much turmoil, so much crisis, so much confusion that everyone begs them for a solution. And guess what? They'll provide one. Because you're playing by their rules. Talked about the fourth industrial revolution. And they talked about in the initial outset, did you hear what they said when they first started? Because of the economic turmoil. Did you hear them? They tell you everything. They said the economic turmoil. Meaning that they are creating the environment for something that's going to be extreme crisis to come along so that that economic turmoil, they can come back and say, see, we told you this was coming. And they're going to pull the carpet from everybody, from up under everybody. I mean, they're going to pull the rug out from everybody. And it's going to be significant. It's going to be a new, there's going to be a realignment, a new economic empire alignment. And the U.S. will not be significant at all. If you listen to the ASEAN nations, they made an agreement with China about the South Sea of China. And then they also spoke about the Korean Peninsula. And if you heard what they were saying for North Korea and South Korea to continue their communications and continue their direction. They didn't talk about cooperation with the U.S., did they? They talked about denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. What are they talking about? They're talking about kicking the U.S. nukes out, not North Korea's nukes. The ASEAN nations are ready to engage with China and to settle that overall waterway. Why is that waterway significant? That waterway is significant because it is just as significant as the BRIC nations. All of the ASEAN nations will be BRIC nation members. And then there won't be a dispute in the South Sea of China because they will all be working for the what? The trillions and trillions of dollars of the trillions and trillions amount of trade that will go through there. It won't be the dollar anymore. It should be a dollar, but not the U.S. dollar. It should be the original definition of what a dollar is, and you can't have a dollar if it ain't silver. The original definition for the word dollar means silver. And all of that is coming together, and they're getting rid of the U.S. Pakistan. Billion-dollar loan from China. Otis posted through Rod sent, well, one of Otis postings from Nigeria. Resources, resources, resources. Mexico. There was an article. Let me pull it up really quickly. Very, very significant. And I hope that you're seeing what this alignment is all about. There was an article. Oh, I had it right here. Whoops, nope, that wasn't it. Here it is. It was out of RT. How Turkey wanted to join BRICS. Everybody wants to join BRICS because that's the future. And in joining BRICS, it means the rejection of NATO and the U.S. Some of the significant economic powerhouses of NATO will be joining BRICS. Germany and France. Particularly, more importantly, Germany. But Canada, Mexico, Japan. Japan was one of the last founders of the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Bank. The Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB. They were offered that. The U.S. told them, don't you join it? Guess what they did? They joined it. Guess who else joined it? Taiwan. Taiwan joined it. They all made alliance with China. Why? Because they have to. It's what the system has deemed to be necessary and where everything is going. And it's not going to stop. It's just going to continue to grow. And the reason why it's going to grow is because the system's will is going to will it to, into existence unless there is an adverse energy that says no and does something else. And I would say it's in our best interest as people and as a species to no longer allow the power of the people to be bottled by the power of the few and corralled and subjugated. It should be the power of the species. And it definitely can be done. Most people say that it can't be done, that's just fantasy. That's because that is a enslaved mind speaking. Because that's all that you ever been exposed to. You can't see anything other than that. It's been so thoroughly indoctrinated in you, it's the only thing that you will accept now. It's the only thing that will be considered. It's the only thing that you see worthwhile and is where we place our energy to survive. Because we think that's all that we have. And that's far from the truth. You have to create something different. And in creating something different, you'll have a real opportunity to move forward, your agenda forward, which is the most important thing. And if we look at right now, the U.S. debt is about what they report. The U.S. debt is equivalent to 105.40% of its gross domestic product for 2017, meaning its debt to income ratio is 105%. 105%. The highest it's ever been was 118. And that was in the 40s that it got to there. No, I'm sorry. And that was in, yeah, the 40s, and then in the 80s, in 81 was his lowest, at 31%. And the debt is what's going to completely annihilate everything, because the debt bubble will explode. And in this explosion, it's going to take down the whole, it's going to perpetuate what the system wants. And all of everything that's based in debt is going to be completely annihilated. Pensions, mortgages, savings, anything that's denominated or monetized by a debt instrument, kapoof, gone, lost. And it's a shame that we haven't been exposed to how this affects us and the adverse effects of it. You know, even with the debt system still gave us a margin of error. It gave us a margin of being able to establish a quality of life, a standard of living that is not going to be seen in an asset-based economy. We are not going to a better system. It's the same system, it's just going to be done in a different way. An asset-based economy is not going to be beneficial, particularly in our community, because we do not even own assets. So we're going to be even further disenfranchised in this whole thing. Completely. Because there is no margin of error in the asset-based economy. You either have it or you don't. You either can produce an asset or you don't. In order for you to get an asset, you're going to have to give up something of value. You can't just give your good name saying, I promise to pay. That's the debt-based economy. Your credit history, your credit score, good or bad, is irrelevant. Your promise to pay, a debt-based system is based off of promise to pay. That word will no longer be accepted. You're going to have collateral. Think about all of that has been accumulated and acquired through a promise to pay. Imagine if that over all of those contracts and all of that, those agreements were going to have to be settled by an asset. We'd have a whole lot less. And that's what's going to happen here. The system never gives you anything. It only takes. It has an insatiable appetite for more control. It's never enough. And this is why this is so important for us to abandon ship. To leave the overall platform. To withdraw. To succeed. To have a real exodus. Because if not, the overall enslavement and subjugation is going to be even further. In a debt-based economy compared to an asset-based economy, the caste system and the overall haves and have-nots is night and day. Once you are in the debt the asset-based economy, it becomes extremely difficult to acquire assets because you have to give up something of value in order to get it. Meaning before that happens, you need to position yourself to have assets so that you can engage in the overall and facilitate trade in the new system until you have a way that you can just either walk away from the system or so many other things, or get others to go with you there, whatever you want to come with. But what happens in the overall debt-based to asset-based economy, once that window on the debt-based economy is closed, wherever you are, the likelihood of your generations ever to be able to escape that until a new system is put into place is marginal at best, minimal at most. The margin for you to do that is very, very, very small. Because the whole world will be clamoring and fighting, just like Black Friday. But see, Black Friday was institutionalized to get people to fight over stuff, over consumer goods. What do you think people are going to do when it comes to assets? It's going to be a different dynamic. This is why the major countries, such as Canada, Mexico, the EU, they're trying, Switzerland, they're divesting themselves of the U.S. dollar as fast as they possibly can. And they're creating the overall trade deals so that they will be able to function in the new asset-based economy. South Korea. There's an article that we put into Tando Radio Show earlier. Global car makers hitching joint response to U.S. protectivism tariffs. Protectivism tariffs basically means that they're going to be dropping the U.S. dollar and they're going to be sanctioning the U.S. dollar and they're going to war economically and then physically against the United States. That's what happens when you have tariffs and you have currency wars that turn into trading wars that turn into shooting wars. When we first came on, we told you that this progression was going to be happening. We were going through the currency war. It was going to turn into a trade war. We got trade wars now, y'all. There's only one step after that. Shooting wars. Very important. You're ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I am on the board. Let me check to see if anyone is there. If you'd like to get in the last half hour, this is critical. All of this stuff is being set forth. And it's not a pipes dream or something. It's already happening. And the speed and the depth in which it's happening.
Brother Dave.
It's huge. Yes, yes, Brother Otis. Go ahead, bro.
Hey, look, man, before you change the topic, I wanted to give you some kudos and tell you, listening to you, because, you know, everybody has expertise in different areas. Listening to you over the last 7 or 8 months has made me start researching more about money and trade and currency and all that, and I've learned a lot from you. That's why I posted that article about China doing the currency swap. It never would have occurred to me. Yeah, it would never would have occurred to me to think about that, except I heard what do you call him, I forgot the acronym you used for 45, celebrity figurehead or whatever. Anyway, it never occurred to me till I heard him tell a lie in explaining his tariffs. He said, look at it, China and Bloomberg or somebody at Fortune had just come out talking about China's currency dropping and how he was being effective. This is a lie he was saying. And I'm laughing to myself and saying, well, China, he's actually trying to fight like the 1970 era when the dollar was king after the petrodollar. Right. And he doesn't understand. He actually made it much easier and cheaper for China to do a currency swap with Nigeria, gain more and more impact on the continent at a cheaper value, and then end up helping to undermine the dollar even more. So I never would have thought that my way through that without your expertise. I appreciate that, brother.
What Otis was saying is exactly what was happening. See, what is happening is that China has a bunch of treasuries. Russia has a bunch of treasuries. They're all dropping them. But see, this is how they're doing it. They're not just going to drop it so that the war can start and everything else. No, they're not going to do it that way. They're not going to do it that way. This is how the system wants them to do it. They want them to build and have this thing take a long time to happen. Okay? They're not in a rush. See, the general population, because they're on a debt-based economy, they have a plan for only 2 weeks or a month at a time. We don't have 500,000 years or a million-year plan. They do, because they control resources. What's happening is that China and the other countries are taking their currency, their U.S. dollars, their U.S. currencies, and they're using them to acquire assets so that when the asset-based economy comes into place, guess what? They have the assets that all that everything is going to be anchored to. They win, everybody else loses. And that's what you should be doing. That's exactly what you should be doing. They're establishing asset alliances. And their overall methodology of that is, regardless, you know, good or bad. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of alliances that they're doing that are malevolent. But they're doing it for this reason. They're getting the assets under their control because now once the debt-based economy ends, they have no formidable foe. They'll destroy the U.S. without firing one shot. They'll destroy the U.S. by doing one thing, making the rest of the world demand assets. And then who is the U.S. going to blame? And that totally changes our quality of life and standard of living immediately. When they require that the U.S. pay its overall restitutions, war restitutions, they're going to require that in resources because we're going to be in an asset-based economy. They're not going to allow the U.S. to give any old cash up because that cash should be a debt-based cash up. It'll be worthless. They're going to require a resource. And what resource do you think that they're going to require? They're going to require human labor for manufacturing. They're going to require Detroit. They're going to require that the U.S. give up Miami, that it gives up San Francisco, that it gives up California. They won't require that they give up Texas because Texas is already going to leave. They've already made alliances with China. Is all being put into place as assets, ladies and gentlemen. And the asset paradigm switch is one in which you have to prepare for. You do as much as you possibly can. And then some more. Because there's a fine line and there's a window of opportunity. Once that window closes, that is it. You will be defined not by your promise to pay, but your ability to collateralize. And it's not that they're going to ask the U.S. what they think. The rest of the world is going to tell them what they what their overall fee is, what their overall restitution will be. How do you get back when you gave people debt their whole lives and you've taken years and years of their oil? What do you think that their overall price is going to be? What would your price be? What would your settlement be? You think of it from that standpoint, and then the reality sinks in that, yes, this is going to happen, and it's not going to be rosy when it does. And governments always do this. They create debt that they don't have to pay. They write laws they don't have to obey, and they declare wars that they don't have to fight. Guess who's going to be the overall burden bearer of this? Every person, not just here in the U.S., every person throughout the world, because the world order will be deceiving them. It's just like the little devil come and say, "Hey, we can take them. You're if we align, if you do this and do that, we can go exploit those people there." They're going to bring a deal that people can't refuse, and they're not going to refuse it because they're going to be so emotionally charged to different things. Their hatred is going to be so great they'll be willing to do any and everything. Hasn't just happened one time, two times. It's happened throughout human. It's actually a part of the overall recording of the human history of all the different times that this has happened. And until we use a different consciousness, the likelihood of us falling for this is 100%. We always do. The question is, will we always? Are we always going to continue? I don't know. I don't know. I hope not. Because there's going to be actually a lot of opportunities that will spring forth in that conversion. And I hope that we all position ourselves in a way that when that does happen, one thing that will not stop is commerce will not stop. Even in Venezuela. In Venezuela, the overall high-end restaurants are filled with individuals because many of those individuals, the overall economic plight of Venezuela has not affected them. There are going to be different markets. I just hope that you'll have the overall ability to acquire some other assets from the assets that you acquired now, because the assets that you acquired now are going to be so valuable going forward, because everyone is going to be seeking them. And there are going to be things that you'll be able to do. But I'm going to tell you, consumerism and consumer goods aren't going to be desired. Everything that's consumer-based is going to be out of style and out of fashion and not significant or relevant anymore. Whatever the overall fashionable trends are, they will mean nothing. Just like all consumer things are just like the dollar. It goes out of style. It's just like currency. It goes out of style. But real money is a necessity. Food is a form of money. It's a necessity. Land is a form of money. It's a necessity. Your energy is a form of money. It's a necessity. The precious metals is a form of money. It's a necessity. No matter what age, what time, or what world order is under, is relevant then, now, and forevermore. It defines existence. So this new world order is nothing new at all. They're just switching it up. And they're going to defend this militarily, their treaties by military. And all of the significant nations around the world that have assets will be a part of it. Those that don't have assets will be subordinate to it. Look at where the BRIC nations hold their overall conference and meetings. Look to what they're catering to. They're catering to the continent that have all of the assets. And it's very significant if you just hear what they're saying. And when you do, the writing is clear. What we've been taught through domestication, what we thought could never happen, while we keep thinking never, it is unfolding. Everything is going to physical assets. That's what the word physical is so significant in what they were saying. And there are definitely things that you could do now before it happens. Timing is very important. See, one of the things for us is you and I, is that we have to get wind of these type of things years and years in advance, because we work on much, much smaller margins than countries do, than corporations do, than institutions do. Some institutions and corporations and countries can prepare for it right away, but it's not their people that are preparing for it. Their so-called people is them, the overall underlying fraternal order. Apple is fine. Are you? China is fine. Are you? Are the Chinese people fine? The people that happen to live in China, are they fine? If they don't have assets, they're not fine. Some businesses, they're not fine because they don't have any assets. Institutions, some institutions are do fine because they have assets. The people that actually make up that overall institution, they're not fine. Because what they're going to do is that they're going to say, hey, this is the new system. This is how we operate now. You're lucky to have a job. Old tricks on new people. That's the new world order. So, a lot for us to think about. A lot for us to do. And I don't think that is something that we should waste much time on, because it is going to happen, in my estimation, is going to happen within our overall, well, within the next 10 or so years. Go on, Ghost. I'll play with you later. My dog is killing me. He's like, be quiet, David. Play with me. But what you do now in the debt-based economy is significant for the transfer, for when the debt-based economy ends for you and the asset-based economy kicks in. Let me just say this. If you have currency now, no matter what country it's from, what picture is on it, what writing is on it, it's a currency. It's not money. It's going to be changed. And the system will know exactly when and where you acquire it. That overall debt instrument. Here's how what they're going to do. They're going to have to create new currency that's backed by assets. And each country will have its own. This is why countries are now nationalizing a lot of different industries that engage in money. Mines, oil fields, they're nationalizing them quietly. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they don't want to starve. They don't want their overall lifestyle, standard of living and lifestyle to change. They want it to explode even further. They want even more control. So all of the governments around the world are going to change their currencies that are going to be anchored in the assets. And they're going to be able to tell, that's the old world order. Here's the new world order. And they won't accept the old world order in the new world order, which is one and the same. So don't get cute with this stuff. Get prepared. Get prepared. The United States is irrelevant and its overall influence and its initiative has been lost because no one else is supporting it. Can't stand on his own. And just by that exodus, that is going to cause for an economic displacement and an economic crisis that's going to be here like no other before. It will be the end of an empire. And that book will be closed on it, as so many others have been before. Just imagine being in some of the other empires. What do you think the people were saying before, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years before it was going, it happened? Nah, that'd never happen. Well, it happens all the time. And it will happen again in the future. They'll change back generations from now. They'll change back from an asset-based economy and go back to a debt-based economy. They'll create the winds of war, currency war, trade wars with different nations. By that time, China will be looked upon as like the United States is looked upon right now. There'll probably be a nation out of another continent that will be the overall gleaming eye of the world as being the ones that are fair and everything else. But they'll still have the overall same cloak and cloth of the great Satan, the great deceiver. And they'll forget about you, they'll forget about me, and they'll forget about others if we remain the way that we are. But if we invoke who our true purpose, our true powers, our true abilities, they will not only forget about, they will not only talk and write and teach what you were doing, not only will they memorialize, they will actually put forth the overall seeds of prosperity from what you do. And it has to be done now. We have to go back to everything that proceeds from the great creator's mouth, that is money. It's never failed. Never will. So, much love, much respect. Never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And make sure before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new
gold millennium. Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.